I've been looking in, you know, in my mind for a really long time for how it is that I can synthesize or make 1,500 pages into a half an hour talk or something like that, so that I can actually look at what it is that anybody in this world really needs to look at some point in their life. And this morning, something came for me to put together and see how it unfolds. There's a couple sections of A Course in Miracles that are that I want to read in reverse. When I say read in reverse, I mean, you know, the one that shows up in the book first is the one I'm going to share last, and see if I can make some sense out of what Jesus really wants us to hear. It's been pretty clear to me that A Course in Miracles has not really been understood, not by those that practice it, and certainly not by those that don't practice it, and certainly not by those that once practice it and no longer do. And don't underestimate the insidious nature of the rejection of the presence of your Creator. So as you read, you know, anything that is truly helpful, there's going to be resistance to the acceptance of that, because the true teaching is that God is a fact, and you don't get out of God's sight no matter what you think. Now that you think you did, how do you deal with it? And that's what all religion and everything else, you know, basically is really all about. But if you, but there's a couple of sections in A Course in Miracles. If you put them together, all of a sudden you get the true picture that Jesus is wanting you to recognize. Not the whole linear, but the whole. So, please, if you have questions, save them until the very end, so that I can try to go through this and get everything out that I think we really need to hear. Okay, the first section I want to look at is called "Can God Be Reached Directly?" Immediately, you're already assuming there is a God. Can God be reached directly? So we're not going to debate about God on this at all. We're assuming there is one. And the question is can God be reached directly? God indeed can be reached directly, for there is no distance between him and his son. No distance. That means you must be in God's presence right now. Now you can question whether you're aware of that if you want to, but that doesn't allow you to not be in God's presence. His awareness is in everyone's memory, and his word is written on everyone's heart. In the beginning was the word, and it's written on your heart. Yet this awareness and this memory can arise across the threshold of recognition only where all barriers to truth have been removed. All barriers have to be removed. And how many is this the case? Here then is the role of God's teachers. They too have not attained the necessary understanding as yet, but they have joined with others. They have joined with others. This is what sets them apart from the world. So the teachers of God are set apart from the world through their willingness to join. And it is this that enables others to leave the world with them. So now he's telling you it's possible to leave the world, but not if you don't join. Alone, they are nothing. But in their joining is the power of God. You find the power of God in joining with the brother. There are those who have reached God directly, retaining no trace of worldly limits and remembering their own identity perfectly. These might be called teachers of teachers, because although they are no longer visible, their image can yet be called upon. And they will appear when and where it is helpful for them to do so. Now, who do you think decides that, you or them? To those to whom such appearances would be frightening, they give their ideas. They don't appear, they just share with you their ideas. No one can call on them in vain. Every time you reach out for help, they will be there. Nor is there anyone of whom they are unaware. Now, this is something that you can't quite even comprehend, because certainly there are billions of people on your planet that you're not aware of. But these who have found their own perfection are aware of everyone. All needs are known to them, and all mistakes are recognized and overlooked by them. The time will come when this is understood. A time will come when this will be understood. Somewhere in time, you will begin to understand this before you realize there is no time. The time will come when this is understood, and meanwhile, they give all their gifts to the teachers of God, who look to them for help, asking all things in their name and in no other. That sounds like devotion, commitment. Sometimes a teacher of God may have a brief experience of direct union with God. In this world, it is almost impossible that this endure. It can perhaps be won after much devotion and dedication, and then be maintained for much of the time on earth. But this is so rare that it cannot be considered a realistic goal. So you don't set it up as a goal, but you do remain open to its possibility, because it is possible. If it happens, so be it. And hallelujah, I'd say. If it does not happen, so be it as well. Because what other choice do you have than to devote your life? All worldly states must be illusory. All worldly states are part of the illusion. If God were reached directly in sustained awareness, the body would not be long maintained. Who would want to? A bodhisattva? Somebody who cared about all humanity that has not undergone the transformation yet? those who have laid the body down merely to extend their helpfulness to those remaining behind are few indeed. We can look at the life of someone like Ramalinga. And they need helpers who are still in bondage and still asleep, so that by their awakening can God's voice be heard. If there weren't those who were asleep, there wouldn't need to be the message. So you need people who wake up and convey the message. Is that you? Do not despair, then, because of limitations. Do not despair, then, that you're dealing with this world, because your awakening has a purpose, a value. It is your function to escape from them, but not be without them. Until it is time for you to be without them. If you would be heard by those who suffer, you must speak their language. Their language. Compassion. Compassion being, I've experienced what you experience. I understand what you're saying. Speak their language. If you would be a savior, you must understand what needs to be escaped. Salvation is not theoretical. It must look like something. Behold the problem, ask for the answer, and then accept it when it comes. Nor will its coming be long delayed. All the help you can accept will be provided. Did you hear the provision that he gave you there? All the help that you can accept will be given. And not one need you have will not be met. Let us not then be too concerned with goals for which you are not ready. God takes you where you are and welcomes you. What more could you desire when this is all you need? Can God be reached directly? Is it possible for you? Good questions. And your answers have a lot to say about you. So, the second part I wanted to look at was, if the first part is, can God be reached directly? And the answer is yes, but you have a function here. What does the ending of all of that look like? Is there an ending to all of that? So the second part, there's a question that is asked, how will the world end? And this is the way Jesus answers that. Because who would want to stay here forever? If that were possible. How will the world end? Can what has no beginning really end? So right away, Jesus is indicating to you that you're asking a very strange question. The way you're asking that question, you're indicating to Jesus that you think it's real. You want to know how what you think is real is going to end. And his answer is, how can what has no beginning really end? The world will end in an illusion as it began. So that there is an ending is also an illusion. It's a part of the illusion. When there is no illusion, you don't have an idea in your mind when, how will the illusion end. And only something that is part of the illusion would have that thought. Yet will its ending be an illusion of mercy? An illusion of mercy. There will be kindness in your story. The illusion of forgiveness, complete, excluding no one, limitless in gentleness, will cover it, hiding all evil, concealing all sin, and ending guilt forever. So ends the world that guilt had made. Not God, guilt. For now it has no purpose and is gone. The father of illusions is the belief that they have a purpose, that they serve a need or gratify a want. Perceived as purposeless, they are no longer seen. Their uselessness is recognized and they are gone. How but in this way are all illusions ended? They have been brought to truth. Truth saw them not. It merely overlooked the meaningless. Jesus is talking here about an activity that's going to occur in your mind. It's going to occur in your mind. You cannot resist this forever. Until forgiveness is complete, the world does have a purpose. It becomes the home in which forgiveness is born and where it grows and becomes stronger and more all-embracing. Here is it nourished, for here it is needed. A gentle Savior, born where sin was made and guilt seemed real. Here is his home, for here there is need of him indeed. He brings the ending of the world with him. It is his call, God's teacher's answer, turning to him in silence to receive his word. God's teachers receive the call to be the Savior so that the world can find its ending. The world will end when all things in it have been rightly judged by his judgment, the Savior's judgment. The world will end with the benediction of holiness upon it, not anger, not disappointment, not your rage, but your benediction of holiness. Your love manifesting in this world. Not your rejection of it, your love of it. Not your belief that it is real, which would change your love. But you're loving, so you allow it to be an illusion. When not one thought of sin remains, the world is over. It will not be destroyed, nor attacked, nor even touched. It will merely cease to seem to be. It will disappear after it has been completely forgiven, which means after you love the world. That doesn't mean that you seek there for what you cannot find, but you love it because you have to love if you are what love is. And you have to stop not loving So while the world still remains in your mind, it doesn't keep you from loving. Don't let circumstances take away your love. Certainly, this seems to be a long, long while away. When not one thought of sin remains, appears to be a long-range goal indeed. But time stands still and waits on the goal of God's teachers. Not one thought of sin will remain in the instant any one of them accepts atonement for himself. What an idea. It is not easier to forgive one sin than forgive all of them. The illusion of orders of difficulty is an obstacle the teacher of God must learn to pass by and leave behind. One sin perfectly forgiven by one teacher of God can make salvation complete. Can you understand this? No, it is meaningless to anyone here. Yet it is the final lesson in which unity is restored. It goes against all the thinking of the world, but so does heaven. The world will end when its thought system has been completely reversed. Everything this world says is real has to be reversed, and you say everything this world thinks is real is an illusion. And everything this world says is an illusion is what is real. All the thoughts are reversed. This world says you can't trust what is invisible. You must trust what is visible. And that's reversed. You realize that reality is not visible here. And what is not of value is what is visible. And regardless of that understanding, you love anyway. Until then, bits and pieces of its thinking will still seem sensible. The thinking of the world. Until it's reversed, some of the parts of it will still seem sensible to you, reasonable to you. The final lesson, which brings the ending of the world, cannot be grasped by those not yet prepared to leave the world and go beyond its tiny reach. If you're not ready, you're not going to experience the end of the world. The final lesson brings the ending of the world, and that cannot be grasped by those not yet prepared to leave the world. Prepared to leave the world, that means you don't fear it. You don't fear that there will be no world. What then is the function of the teacher of God in this concluding lesson? What's your function as a teacher of God in the world ending? He need merely learn how to approach it, to be willing to go in its direction. He need merely trust that if God's voice tells him it is a lesson he can learn it. He does not judge it either as hard or easy. His teacher points to it, and he trusts that he will show him how to learn it. Jesus is indicating here how important it is to have a living relationship with the Holy Spirit, and how trust has to be a part of that. If you want to have a direct experience of God. the world will end in joy, not disappointment, not depression, not being upset, not being mad, not judging yourself as too little, but it ends in joy. That means it ends when you can't get any more joyful. You are totally joy. That's how it ends. Happiness. When you get happy that this world is not real, when you get happy that it's an illusion, when you get happy that it won't satisfy you, but that you are satisfied because you have this holy relationship that you're aware of, and that satisfies you, and you have that to give to the world, and in your giving of that to the world is the demonstration of your forgiving. The world will end in joy because it is a place of sorrow. Reversed, sorrow to joy. When joy has come, the purpose of the world has gone. And when he talks about the purpose of the world here, he's talking about the original purpose that you gave it. Not the purpose that you gave it to be a place where you could remember all the joy that belongs to you because of who you really are, as created by your loving creator. The world will end in peace because it is a place of war. More reversal. When peace has come, what is the purpose of the world? The most it could be is a place where peace came and dispelled the wars. Well, then it has no purpose for war any longer. The world will end in laughter. Not serious, you know, finger holding, meditation, cave dwelling, whatever, but laughter. The world ends in laughter because it's a place of tears. Joy, laughter, peace. So laughter must be a part of peace, and joy is a part of peace. Where there is laughter, who can longer weep? And only complete forgiveness brings all this to bless the world. Complete forgiveness. Nothing being held outside your forgiving. In blessing, it departs, for it will not end as it began. To turn hell into heaven is the function of God's teachers. Did you hear that? To turn hell into heaven is the function of God's teachers, for what they teach are lessons in which heaven is reflected. And now, sit down in true humility and realize that all God would have you do, you can do. Do not be arrogant and say you cannot learn His own curriculum. His word says otherwise. His will be done. It cannot be otherwise. And be you thankful it is so. So you can reach God directly, but you don't need to sustain it if you want to fulfill a role here in this world where there is a need for the awakened to be here for a while to help those who still believe in the validity or the necessity to sleep. And now you choose the role you want to play. Now, the third part. This is truly exciting. The third part is Jesus expressing, as best as you can in words, what is it like for you to realize that you are spirit in the mind of God? Because in that experience, truly is the disappearance of the world. This is the idea of the final moment for a human in realizing he's actually spirit. It goes like this. This is from chapter 12. You do not want the world. The only thing of value in it is whatever part of it you look upon with love. Isn't that amazing? The only part of this world that has any value at all is the part that you look upon with love. And this is why I tell you, when you reach the point where you love the world because you realize that you are what love is, the whole world will undergo a change. This gives it the only reality it will ever have. Your love gives it the only reality it will ever have. Its value is not in itself, but yours is in you. As self-value comes from self-extension, so does the perception of self-value come from the extension of loving thoughts outward. Make the world real unto yourself, for the real world is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so it belongs to you. Let the world of illusion become a real world by you looking upon that world with love. It's time for Course in Miracles students not to be afraid of the world, and not to reject it, and not to be angry with it, but to love it. Or you won't know who you are. And that world will continue to present itself as being in opposition to you. Why? Because you're seeing it as being unloving. And if you're seeing it as being unloving, it is because in your mind there is still something that is unloving. But if you see with love, then in your mind, you're seeing that that is loved. And then you will be associating yourself with the self that your Creator created. Correction is for all who cannot see. To open the eyes of the blind is the Holy Spirit's mission. For he knows that they have not lost their vision, but merely sleep. Your eyes don't stop working because you sleep. When you awaken, you see whatever awakening allows. So just because you're not aware of heaven doesn't mean heaven isn't there and that you don't have the ability to know heaven. It just means that you sleep from the awareness of heaven. And it's the job of Holy Spirit to awaken you to that experience. And remember who the Holy Spirit is. It's the part of you that still knows God. He would awaken them from the sleep of forgetting to the remembering of God. Your holiness who remembers God is going to awaken you to the fact that you do know God. And Jesus has already told you that you can experience God directly. Christ's eyes are open. So when you awaken, you will awaken to the realization that you are the Christ. Christ's eyes are open, and he will look upon whatever you see with love if you accept his vision as yours. Jesus was a man who so associated himself with the Christ that he came to realize he is the Christ. You will look upon whatever you see with love if you accept his vision as yours. Who will you realize you are if you accept his vision as yours? You will come to realize that you are the Christ. The Holy Spirit keeps the vision of Christ for every son of God who sleeps. In his sight, the Son of God is perfect, and he longs to share his vision with you. The Holy Spirit longs to share the vision of your perfection with you. You long to share your imperfection with the Holy Spirit. You want him to look at that over and over and over again as if it's real. The Holy Spirit over and over and over again asks you to look at your perfection instead. Now, somewhere along the line, you're going to get tired, and the Holy Spirit won't, and you'll change your mind about that. In his sight, the Son of God is perfect, and he longs to share his vision with you. He will show you the real world, the world that you can see with love. The Holy Spirit will show you that world of love, because God gave you heaven. God gave you heaven. Through him, your Father calls his Son to remember. Sounds like it would be a good idea to have remembering events. Events that are set up for you to come and remember. Remember what? That you are the Son of God, that you are the Christ, that you can allow the Holy Spirit to help you see in your mind what you are denying, what you are avoiding, that you choose sleep over being awake. The awakening of his Son begins with his investment in the real world. And by this, he will learn to reinvest in himself. Now, if you want to, you can use the word value there instead of reinvest. But somewhere, you're going to have to make that shift as to what you value, what you trust, what you accept. For reality is one with the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit blesses the real world in their name. Did you notice that he said the Father and the Son? That world cannot be perfect if one of those is missing. It's the world of the Father and the Son. When you have seen this real world, the world that is of love, when you see this real world, as you will surely do, you will remember us, all of the sons of God. You will recognize everything that is real is the same. It is all of creation. And there is only one creation. You will remember us, the sons of God, the Christ. Yet you must learn the cost of sleeping. That's me teaching you enough is enough. You've thrown away everything that is joyful. You've thrown away your communion with your Creator. You must learn the cost of sleeping and refuse to pay it. You must refuse to pay the cost of continuing to sleep when you hear the message that you do this but to yourself. You don't have to continue to sleep. You can allow yourself to be awakened. Only then will you decide to awaken. When you've had enough of the pain and suffering, only then will you allow yourself to be awakened. Only when you want only joy will you be prepared to be awakened. And then the real world will spring to your sight. For Christ has never slept. He is waiting to be seen, for he has never lost sight of you. He looks quietly on the real world. He's not ranting and raving that he's lost you somewhere. He looks quietly on the real world, which he would share with you because he knows of the Father's love for him. And knowing this, he would give you what is yours. In perfect peace, he waits for you at his Father's altar, holding out the Father's love to you in the quiet light of the Holy Spirit's blessing. And where is this altar? You call it your heart. The Christ is living in your heart, waiting for you to be willing to be aware. And in that reconnection, through the willingness, comes the joy and the love that you cannot contain. And because you cannot contain it, it is natural for you to extend it to the world that you see. Your awakening and the activity of being a Savior is a natural expression of God's love for you and your love for God. It's not optional. Only the time you take is optional. The outcome is not an option. Whether you will or won't is not an option. Only when. For the Holy Spirit will lead everyone home to his Father, where Christ waits as his self. The Holy Spirit is going to lead everyone to heaven. Now, prepare yourself. Every child of God is one in Christ. For his being is in Christ as Christ's is in God. Christ's love for you is his love for his Father, which he knows because he knows his Father's love for him. When the Holy Spirit has at last led you to Christ at the altar to his Father, perception fuses into knowledge because perception has become so holy that its transfer to holiness is merely its natural extension. Love transfers to love without any interference, for the two are one. as you perceive more and more common elements in all situations, the transfer of training under the Holy Spirit's guidance increases and becomes generalized. Gradually, you learn to apply it to everyone and everything, for its applicability is universal. When this has been accomplished, perception and knowledge have become so similar that they share the unification of the laws of God. What is one cannot be perceived as separate. And the denial of the separation is the reinstatement of knowledge. At the altar of God, in your heart, the holy perception of God's Son becomes so enlightened that light streams into it, and the Spirit of God's Son shines in the mind of the Father and becomes one with it. Very gently does God shine upon Himself, loving the extension of Himself that is His Son. The world has no purpose as it blends into the purpose of God, for the real world has slipped quietly into heaven, where everything eternal in it has always been. There, the Redeemer and the redeemed join in perfect love of God and of each other. Heaven is your home, and being in God, it must also be in you. The point I want to emphasize through reading the three sections that I did is really about you, us, everybody, recognizing the necessity, call it a request if you want, to stop abusing the world, to stop rejecting it as not worthy of your love. Now, when I use the word world, I'm also talking about the people of the world. I'm talking about whatever it is that you think circumscribes you. You can call it the environment if you want to. You can call it the universe if you want to. You can say it's everything that is made manifest if you want to. I don't really particularly care how in your mind you choose to describe that in words. I'm talking about while you have the belief in your own mind that you are separate from anything, that the solution to that is your love. And that the way you get to that love